This is WSIU In Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller. The Illinois General Assembly has less than 3 weeks left before its May 31st adjournment, and the Senate remains the focus of negotiations to try to end the state's nearly two-year-old budget stalemate. Jack Titchener is interim director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale, and he joins us after another episode of Illinois Lawmakers at the Capitol this week. Jack, what's the latest?
Well, lots of noise and not a whole lot of light, actually, at the Capitol. Things appeared to be heading for a showdown this week, another showdown, when the Democratic Senate President John Cullerton tried to force votes on parts of the grand bargain once again. They did pass one relatively innocuous piece of the package, but the GOP leader in the Senate, Chris Redonio, said she wasn't ready to put her bills out up for a vote yet on workers' comp and property tax freezes. And Cullerton, a few minutes later, went before reporters saying the governor can't govern because he's unwilling to compromise. He says the governor keeps holding out for more, and the Democrats have pretty much run out of ideas where are areas where they can compromise on reform. Redonio, for her part, says they are getting close on areas like workers' compensation and school funding reform. She says it's just premature to pull the plug when things are so close to being finished.
For people who watch this and for others who don't, we keep hearing the grand bargain is alive. Now it's dead. Now it's alive again. So where do things stand here?
Well, this may be grand bargain 2.0. That's been kind of the running joke up there for the last few weeks. Most of the renewed talk about the grand bargain right now kind of revolves around Republican Senator Bill Brady's version of a grand bargain package of reform and tax increases. His is kind of a five-year tax increase and expansion of the services tax as long as it's coupled with a five-year property tax freeze. Brady told Politico this week the hope would be that Republicans would participate in a revenue increase so that the revenue increase would be associated in time with a property tax freeze. He told the magazine the proposal would call for a cap on spending and reforms on things like workers' comp, and in 5 years, when the increase in revenues falls off, the spending would be in line then with what the new revenues are coming in to, with the level of new revenues coming into the state, and things wouldn't have that big cliff they fell off when the temporary tax increase expired at the end of Pat Quinn's term. Still, there's no actual agreement on property tax relief at this point. The governor wants a permanent freeze. They're talking about 5 years. The Democrats, though, so far in the Senate, are only willing to go for a two-year freeze. Republicans are still wanting the American Medical Association guidelines to be used in the workers' comp reform bill, and that's something the governor wants. The trial attorneys, who are allies of the Democrats, don't want that, so that's still kind of a major hang-up there. Cullerton is still hoping to put a tax on food and medicine. That's something the governor opposes. So it's still a work in progress. Senator Brady says the package has got to be as strong as it can be made possible before it goes over to the House, where Speaker Madigan could tie into the package. Brady's thought is that a weak package going over to the House would result in an even weaker package coming back over to the Senate.
People may recognize Senator Brady's name. He's been a candidate for governor before.
He's a deputy leader of the Senate Republicans.
Does it hold weight that this package is coming from someone of prominence that people across the state already know?
It certainly doesn't hurt the prospects. He's a known quantity there, and he is someone who apparently has the governor's confidence at this point. And I think that at the moment, it's the best hope we have for trying to get some sort of a comprehensive package out of there before May 31st.
At the same time, there were some other developments in the House, maybe a bit of hope there?
Well, there was a bipartisan group of 30 House members earlier in the week, 17 Democrats and 13 Republicans, including Terry Bryant from Murfreesboro. On Tuesday, they came out in favor of the Senate's efforts, kind of generically, to create the grand bargain to try and end this whole thing. This is one of the first times we've actually heard anything out of rank-and-file House members in a public way where both parties have been kind of laying low in recent months to see what the Senate does. The Speaker, for his part this week, named four of his top lieutenants to negotiate on issues like workers' comp reform in hopes of trying to bring about some sort of agreement. Republicans were kind of cool to the idea. They thought it was just another tactic to slow walk things down to adjournment without any agreement on any of the governor's reforms. The House Republican leader, though, Jim Durkin, yesterday said he was going to appoint four of his members to work on those non-budgetary items, but clearly a lot of skepticism on the Republican side of the aisle on where Madigan's going with all this.
And of course, Illinois lawmakers tonight at 7:30 on WSIU-TV.
And, we are focusing tonight on education. This edition of Illinois Lawmakers starts with the latest on school funding reform negotiations, and later we'll talk about how the impasse has been hurting university cities like Carbondale, DeKalb, Charleston, and the like. There's been a House committee looking into that. They held a hearing here in Carbondale a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk to a couple of members of that committee.
Jack Titchener is host of Illinois Lawmakers, which airs on public broadcasting across the state. He's also the interim director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale. Jack, I thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This is WSIU In Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller.